I was talking to somebody about Age of Ultron, and you know, whenever Age of Ultron comes up, I always have to present my thesis on why it really should have been two movies. You know, I always jump at any opportunity to do that. But this time, you know, I started kind of like comparing, contrasting it. I started playing devil's advocate, and I was like, you know, maybe though it would have had kind of a negative impact on, like, you know, Infinity War Endgame. That was the first two-parter in the MCU, and maybe it would have, like, softened the, like, amazing glow of those
wait,
two.
Wait a minute, wait a minute. Caleb?
Yeah.
What are you doing here, man?
I got something for you here. Welcome back to the Superhero Homies Podcast. My name is Caleb, and as always, I'm here with the homie Quentin. Quentin, how's it going?
I'm good. Has this always been like this?
It has not.
Oh, okay.
Homies everywhere. I am filling in for the supreme homie Kevin. He is off finding all of Edgar Allan Poe's victims from his short stories.
I heard he was making them, actually.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. You know, just for plausible deniability. We'll say we don't know what he's doing.
Actually, what he's doing is he's getting all seven Dragon Balls. I painted an Easter egg as a Dragon Ball last year and put it under his pillow, and ever since then, he's been on the journey. So he's looking for the other six right now, and I wish him all the luck.
I'm going to be here for a long time.
But yeah, with that being said, homies, welcome back. Caleb is here, and brother, thank you again for being here. I threw up the back signal and you responded, so I can't thank you enough for filling in.
I mean, a homie has to respond to the bat signal.
I mean,
we have no other choice. Mm-hmm. You know, so.
It never comes up at a convenient moment. Like, I always thought about it. Surely, like, the bat signal goes up and Bruce is, like, taking a shit, or, you know, he's, like, you know, really looking forward to that sandwich Afro's going to make, and then it's like, God damn it.
Do you think he ever, you know, it seems like communication has evolved over the years. You would just think that Gordon could just text him and be like, yeah, we got some people robbing a liquor store. They got machine guns. And then Bruce would be like, send Damien.
Yeah.
I'm busy.
Like, isn't that your son, Batman? He's capable.
Right. Yeah. My favorite Damian Wayne quote is the, you know, where he says, I'm a wanted man, Grayson. And he says, that's impossible. You weren't even a wanted child.
I love that line.
It's the best line.
That's fucking great.
Dick Grayson has the best lines in all of DC comics.
Oh, shit. But speaking of Dick Grayson, WandaVision, we have...
I must have missed an episode.
Yeah, I've been working on my transitions. I thought that was pretty good.
Okay, yeah. I've been picking up on that.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, it's not the worst one.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. But anyway, this topic is... I'm glad to be here for this one because this one is definitely near and dear to my heart.
Mm-hmm.
Disney has taken us all on a ride here over the last 9 weeks. Well, I guess 8 weeks because the first two came out together.
Yeah, and the thing about WandaVision, man, is that I feel that, like, and I say this with all due respect to the show, but I wonder how much of my enjoyment from this show also comes from the fact that I haven't had any MCU in over a year.
That's definitely worked in their favor. I think what hasn't worked in their favor, and I'm sure we'll get more into this, is the fan expectations, you know, coming out of Endgame and Far From Home. I think the expectations are very high, and then some of the little breadcrumbs that they dropped for us that we all thought might lead to all these grand, magnificent places, you know, and I think fan theories may have, like, really bolstered this one beyond what it was intended to be. So, you know, we have that as well.
I'm not gonna lie, I think it is pretty damn hilarious in retrospect. I really do, just because, I mean, just to emphasize on what you just said, expectations on the internet were through the roof. I mean, I've heard every name being thrown out there, Magneto, Mephisto, I mean, you name it, guys, and, like, people have theorized it.
I mean, I'm one of them. I've texted you at, like, 1 o'clock in the morning and been like, all right, man, I think that Vision's Mind Stone is from another universe, so it doesn't work in this universe. And so that's why she has the hex up, because that's the only way the Mind Stone can work here. I mean, I've been victim to it as well.
I think we all have. I mean, hell, even us here. Like, I thought that Kevin and I kept our theories pretty tame. Like, we kind of reeled them in as far as, like, who we can expect to see and all that. But, you know, even Kevin and I, at a minimum, thought that, spoiler alert for this full episode, by the way.
And the whole season.
And the whole season. But, you know, even Kevin and I thought that we would, at minimum, see Doctor Strange.
Right. I thought that that was, like, the tamest of all theories. Yeah. And then we kind of worked back from that, you know? And even in the after credits, we didn't get... there was no real big Marvel cameo. I mean, is Darcy the biggest Marvel cameo?
She might be. Oh, shit, yeah, actually. The more you think about it. Oh, man. shit, but, you know, when I was thinking about this episode, man, I was like, I wonder, Kevin Feige, like, if his assistant came up to him and was like, you know, the internet is really abuzz with the show right now. And Feige's like, yes. And then his assistant's like, yeah, you know, they're really expecting Mr. Fantastic to show up next episode or Magneto. And he's like, you know, like, insert fucking Steve Carell face from The Office. You know, like,
so it's like, it's almost like, you know, like, it's almost like the comic book QAnon, you know what I'm saying? Episode 8, they're like, all right, well, next episode, we got Magneto, Stephen Strange, Mephisto, Ultron, you know.
Doctor Strange.
Yeah, both of the Olsen twins from Full House. Right. Like, all of them are going to show up in this final episode. It's all coming together.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, and, you know, like, even, you know, Kevin and I mean, I guess, yeah, we theorized that Ultron was going to be in the show because when the casting for the show went up, they had James Spader on their casting as Ultron. And they were like, is this... Because, like, every single one of the other castings were right. Like, Evan Peters as Quicksilver was on there. I mean, like...
They were fucking with us.
They were definitely fucking with us. Yeah.
They did that on purpose.
But usually, when you fuck with someone like that, you have something that is equally as great that is legit. I don't think we got, like, an Ultron-level cameo or appearance.
Yeah, so my thoughts on that is, you know that I absolutely detest, even more than you do, subverting expectation storytelling. It is just the worst thing in all of storytelling to me. I hate it, especially because of films like The Last Jedi and Iron Man 3 and you know, of course, like, Game of Thrones is known for this. Other than, so I will give them a pass on everything except Evan Peters. Because if you really look at WandaVision as just a cohesive, 6-hour event, it is a very focused, actually, incredibly focused character narrative. And as you have said on this show, and as I've said, and a lot of people have said, this is the first time in the MCU that we've really had the opportunity to experience that. Because we normally have a 2-2.5 hour runtime that's ticking away in the background, and we have to establish and usually kill a villain in that amount of time. We got to bring in the four heroes for the next movie.
Right.
Honestly, man, it was really nice to just sit down with Wanda and Vision and have this, you know, character development and like, flesh out, like, their little corner, unfortunately, literally their little corner of the world. But that's just something that we haven't gotten the MCU yet, and it was refreshing. The Evan Peters thing, that's the only thing I kind of could call bullshit on, because that was literally they put him in there purely to throw us all off the trail.
Yeah, I'm in full agreement with you on the Evan Peters thing, and because I wanted to talk about that too. I think that was probably the only thing that, I'm not going to say I outright disliked it, but I do outright dislike what it means for that character and for other potential characters, because when he came onto the scene, there's no way that the head honchos at Marvel didn't think that the fans were going to start speculating about other characters from the X-Men universe.
Right.
And then as the episodes go on, we get more and more information, and then by the end of the episode, he's just some guy who lived in that neighborhood. Yeah. Ralph Boner?
Yeah.
I mean, Raph is nobody. Raph is not Mephisto. Raph is not, you know.
Unless he's just playing the long game really well.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
And so it's like, so you mean to tell me that Agnes was like, who was somebody who could potentially possibly pass for her, for Wanda's brother? This guy.
Raph, the only guy.
Yeah, this is the only guy.
He just happens to look exactly like the Fox X-Men version of yes. that person.
He looks exactly like a version of Quicksilver that Wanda has never met before. We will go with him. I guess I didn't like... I mean, it was beyond Easter egg-ish, because at least Easter eggs don't really interfere with the overarching narrative of a story. They're just there for fan service. This, I feel... I'm not going to say it hindered the story in any way, but they succeeded in throwing us off their scent. But that's not necessarily a great thing either. Because I think for people who... For anyone who maybe didn't enjoy this episode... it would be solely because they had really high expectations. But I'll go ahead and be the first to say this, and I'm probably alone on this hill, but I was underwhelmed by the finale, even without the, you know, the, man, I wonder what big character's going to show up. Even that aside, I thought this was a very, honestly, for the most part, a very safe, very formulaic ending. It was just kind of a way to... almost in some instances, quickly wrap everything up in a bow. This is kind of how it felt.
Speaking of excellent Dick Grayson quotes, why is everybody always either overwhelmed or underwhelmed? And nobody's ever just whelmed.
Nobody's ever just whelmed, yeah.
I had to put that in there, I'm sorry. That's going to be a recurring theme for the night. But, no, I agree with you. Like, I think on a certain level, the Evan Peters thing, it causes a problem going forward, because if they do in fact want to bring in any of the Fox X-Men, many of whom people love, we are not going to believe it next time, and it's not going to carry the weight. Yeah. When that episode ended and he knocked on that door and he was standing there, it was like, this was explosive. But also, it became not about Wanda's story anymore, too. Like, okay, the whole narrative became like, when are they going to bring in the X-Men? Right. How is this going to happen? And that's where all the focus went. So, personally, I mean, I see why they did it. It generated a ton of buzz. Mm-hmm. But if it wasn't going to lead to anything, I would have preferred that they left it out. And that's probably my biggest complaint about the entire series. Other than, we still have no idea what happened to Hazmat Franklin.
Right, yeah. Like, we don't even get to see his mangled corpse at the end of the show. Like, we don't get to see anything. # justice for Hazmat Franklin.
Right.
We need to know what happened, damn it. If he didn't get his own comic book within 6 months, Kevin Feige, you'll be hearing from my lawyers.
Actually, I would like a Hazmat Franklin Disney Plus series.
I don't see why not.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Adventures of Hazmat Franklin and Tyler Hayward. Like, we'll get like a double whammy.
And he also turned out to not be Mephisto.
Yeah, he also, yeah. And how dare no one in this show be Mephisto? How dare that stork from episode 3 or whatever not be Mephisto?
Yeah, I mean, that stork didn't even end up being like he had nothing to do with like Monica or Wanda or anybody or anything. It was literally just a manifestation. Maybe Agatha created it. I don't know.
Yeah.
I guess we're to assume everything in the show that Wanda didn't directly create, Agatha probably has something to do with.
Yeah, I guess it's what it seems like. That's what I would assume anyway. But this episode as a whole, I do believe was the longest episode of the series. I think it was like 50 minutes.
Yeah.
I thought that this episode, again, I guess just to iterate my previous thoughts, it did a great job of doing what I consider to be playing it really safe in terms of the conclusion. Because the setup for this show was so well done in terms of Wanda is behaving very villainous. And to the show's credit, it's not like it ends with the people of Westview loving Wanda for saving their lives. No, they still resent Wanda. But at the same time, Wanda walks away with her hands pretty clean. There's still another villain for her to pin, you know, everything on. There's a villain for us to put our focus on in Agatha. There's, you know, the big climactic fight, people are saved, the hero makes the sacrifice, and she goes on. it just feels like for a show that did so many things that were new, so many things that felt original, it was a little downheartening for me to see it end on something that feels so familiar.
As I've gotten older, I've become a lot more comfortable with the safe ending.
Mm-hmm.
It brings me a lot more joy than it used to. Because I feel like you get to where you're in this pattern of like these really safe kind of endings. I mean, look at like pretty much every Superman movie ever, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, at the end of the movie, Superman's going to beat the other guy up and that's going to be it. And that's how it goes. And you get tired of that and you want something else. And then you get these really like just out of control writers that want to give you these like wacky like Mass Effect 3 endings. And then you're like, you know what? I'll take safe.
Yeah.
You know, Game of Thrones happened. Mm-hmm. I'll take safe, you know. That's where the kind of the line is. I appreciated it. I thought that the ending battle between, you know, the two visions, which normally I feel like the whole, you know, the hero and the almost carbon copy of the hero, you know, that just went a different path or whatever, I feel like that's overplayed, even in the MCU. I mean, look at what Iron Man 1 and 2 both had, similar to Iron Man villains.
Even Black Panther, they gave Killmonger a suit.
Yeah, I mean, even in the MCU, it's mildly overdone. But I really enjoyed their fight. I like how Vision ultimately solved it with logic,
mm-hmm.
and with the ship of Thesis, sort of, I guess you would call it a theory or a puzzle. And I thought that was amazing. Such a cool thing for them to bring into the show. And such a thing that like a synthezoid would use against another synthezoid that would instantly get his attention. I thought that that was incredibly well done.
That was actually my favorite part of the episode, was the Vision versus Vision fight. And it was cool like to see the physical combat that they performed and to see them utilize their abilities. But it was even cooler for me to see it be resolved with a war of words, like you put it. Like, I really enjoyed that because it was well thought out. It made sense, and, I mean, everything tracked with it, and I was like, this is really good writing right here.
Yeah, and if you're not familiar at home, the Ship of Thesis is like it is actually a very old, I want to say it goes back to ancient Greece, and it's essentially a word problem or a scientific conundrum, if you will, and it's basically the concept of, okay, well, if you replace all of the essential components of a thing, is it still that thing? And then later on, someone theorized, well, what if you took the ship and you were able, and as Vision talks about in the show, what if instead of you replaced all the rotting boards, you were able to remove the rot from the boards and make them brand new again? They're still the same boards, but you cleaned them and put them back on the ship, and now they're, is it still the same ship? And eventually, and they didn't get into this in the episode, it was Chomsky, I believe, actually came up with the ultimate solution to this particular riddle, if you will, being, well, existence and what humans consider to be true are not equal, right? So it's like our concept of is this thing, has no bearing on actual reality whatsoever, you know, which I love that conclusion to it. And I love that they used it here in the fight between the two visions. Yeah. But that whole concept of like identity is such a human emotion, basically, that it has no bearing on like a static object, you know. So whether we think it's still the ship or not is completely irrelevant.
Yeah, it's
in
completely
reality.
Irrelevant.
And even though they didn't address that, it still fits in with what they came down to. It's like, if this vision has all of Vision's memories, and
all of his original components.
Yeah, and he can interact with the world as Vision would. I mean, is he still Vision? I mean, I think the show says yes.
Yeah.
You know, to an extent. But we don't really get a resolution to that. Like, does he still feel human emotions? Is he still going to try to reconnect with Wanda? I don't know. I will say this about the finale while we're talking about this. We all said that there will only be one season of this show and there'll never be another season. Do you still feel that way now?
I'll tell you what, with the name of the episode being series finale, if I just look at it from that perspective, I would say a resounding yes. But ultimately, I don't know. I don't know. I can definitely see them doing another season to some degree, but I don't know exactly what the formatting would be or even hell. I mean, I guess, yes, ultimately, I do think they could do another season. I just have no idea conceptually what it would be about.
They would have to drop the sitcom element. I mean, it would have to just be a show about them.
Yeah.
But I think we definitely are going to find out, you know, where Vision flew off to. He's definitely going to show back up. Wanda's definitely going to show back up. I really want to talk about the after credits scenes, but before we get to that, I think we should talk about the Agatha and Wanda fight.
Yeah.
Which, before we go into that, Agatha has the best theme song in the whole show. I mean, that track just slaps. It absolutely does.
It was Agatha all along, man. God damn.
It was, yeah. Mandarin, Agatha all along.
Yeah. It was... Somebody needs to do like an ultimate cut of like Agatha being behind all the bullshittery in the MCU. That would be amazing.
Yeah, that fake Infinity Gauntlet that they right. had originally, Agatha.
It was Agatha. All of it. That would be great. And also, by the way, I do want to give a shout out to like the stars of this show because they've all done such a great job in their performance, man. Like Elizabeth Olsen, Paul Bettany, what's the name of Agatha's character or actress? Catherine Hahn.
I was going to ask you.
Yeah, Catherine Hahn. Yeah, she also did a great job. I mean, all three of them absolutely killed it, and they all leaned into their characters and their character emotions. And to a degree, yeah, Paul Bettany had to play two characters. And you called that shit when you texted me a few days ago, yeah, about this amazing actor who Bettany always wanted to work with.
I that's the only thing I guessed correctly. But he fucked with us hard.
He did.
You know, and if you're not familiar with what we're talking about, Paul Bettany, early in the series, he posted that, you know, he got to work with an actor he's never worked with before, and that, you know, he's always wanted to work with, and went on about, like, it was a very prestigious actor, and of course, it was all wordplay, and the actor he always wanted to work with was himself, as he got to do, you know, Vision versus Vision.
Yeah. Very, very tongue-in-cheek there, lad. And also, I do want to say, if you guys are curious about the white suit Vision, I go into that in the previous episode, so definitely check that out if you guys are curious about white suit Vision and why that was such a cool reveal. But you mentioned the Agatha and Wanda fight, and that's the bulk of the episode, if we're being honest.
Yeah.
What you think of this fight here?
I think Marvel's visual effects team is so far ahead of just about everyone else in the industry, other than the crew that's working on Mandalorian, because the things they're doing are out of this world, literally. But, I mean, think about all the shows that have magic in them. Sabrina, all the, like, CW shows like Supernatural or The Originals or any of these other shows where there's magic use. I mean, from the 90s till now, how many shows had some form of magic in them, you know? I thought this was the best, by far, that magic has been displayed on screen. Maybe even including on... It was maybe even better than some of the Harry Potter stuff in the film, feature films. Because I thought that the way that they explained magic in the show overall, but especially in the finale, the way it looked visually, the way that it acted with the characters... It's like the closest to me, you know, I read a lot of novels.
Right.
To me, it was like, this is what my imagination thinks it should look like. And I thought they captured that beautifully. And even the fight choreography, even though they were flying around and a lot of it was, you know, CG or wires or whatever, I thought it was all really well done.
Yeah. I think that visually speaking, Marvel has rarely, if ever, let me down. Like, there's only like... literally a handful of occasions where I thought that Marvel had something that was visually wonky.
Right.
But from a visual standpoint, Marvel, like you said, they're in a league of their own. Nobody can fuck with them.
They have an excellent vision.
All right, guys. So thank you for being here, and we're going to be wrapping things up. Go to bed.
I'm filling in for Kevin. I got to throw a couple puns in there.
God damn it. I was hoping that I'd be free of those for a few weeks. Shit.
And you told me to go to bed, so.
Yeah, I did. I thought that the show, or I thought that this fight scene was very visually captivating, but other than that, again, I was very, I guess in this case, I was whelmed. I was just whelmed.
You're just whelmed.
Yeah. I wasn't, like, floored by, I guess for me, visually it was very appealing, but I was whelmed in the sense of, like, the lack of creative use of magic. It was mostly Hex Bolt, you know.
True.
And I was like, both of these are, Agatha is such a, you know, a well-versed magic user who has a plethora of magic at her disposal. Think about how creative the Doctor Strange and Thanos fight was. Yes. How they really explored some of what Doctor Strange can do. Agreed. And it was fantastic. And it's like, these ladies here have magical capabilities that have yet to be tapped into in the MCU, and they really didn't get into that bag a whole lot. I like the bit where Wanda literally gets inside Agatha's mind, and then Agatha tries to pull the reversal, and it goes back and forth, and then they come out of it. That was a really cool segment.
I love how they did the same visual effect from Age of Ultron, where they kind of had her, like, stealth run, like,
yeah,
do the little, like, weird, you know, creepy, like, where she, like, runs up to him real fast, right, and does the little, like, head magic. That was an awesome, like, you know, throwback to Age of Ultron there.
It was, yeah. And I forgot she did that in Age of Ultron, yeah. But, yeah, so I thought that that fight scene was, I thought it was good. But ultimately, I just felt it like a little bit of creativity as a whole. Especially considering how long their fight went on. It was like multiple segments of mostly what I thought was kind of the same stuff. But
well, I also really loved where Agatha started releasing the townspeople.
Yeah.
And like, I was like, that's good. I mean, that felt like some, like, top-tier, like, video game villain type, right, stuff, you know? It was like, it was a multi-tiered boss fight, like in a video game, you know? It's like, you do some damage to the boss,
uh-huh,
and then now we got a transition, and then now she's going to awaken the townspeople you have held captive,
right, for
God knows how long. And it's like, okay, we got through that. All right, well, there's a little bit more fight. You gotta damage the boss, yeah, down to 33% now. And
then now you fight inside the brain of the...
Yeah. And now we're going to do the inside the mind, yeah, fight. You know, it was like an injustice
thing. It was. Except, you know, like, you mentioned that, but, like, this would be the part in the video game where, like, I get the bad ending because I would kill all the townspeople. That came.
Hey, I mean, you know, they let you play Geralt of Rivia any way you want to in those games.
So. That is true.
There's a reason for that.
But no, I thought that it was also a great move that thankfully Agatha, she lives. And she's put in technically a prison of sorts.
I really loved the ultimate verdict for her.
Yeah.
Because Wanda, of course, like, this show doesn't need to make her look any more villainous than she already looks.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, like, if she had just gone, like, full meltdown, yeah, evil mode, which she still could.
I was going to say, there's, yeah, still time for that. For people who want to see that, it can still happen.
Well, I know we weren't going to get into the after credit scenes, yeah, yet, but I'm just going to say that at no point in all of the history of storytelling has, well, I'm going to go read the Darkhold, worked out well for anyone.
Oh, that's true. Also, I do want to point out, I like the bit where, I think, yeah, it was Agatha who says something along the lines of, you're more powerful than the Sorcerer Supreme.
Yes.
That was cool to hear.
I loved that, but the line that I really loved the most was when she says, your problem isn't power, Wanda, it's knowledge.
Yes.
And I immediately was thinking forward into Doctor Strange, like, how amazing it would be if he did take her under his wing,
mm-hmm,
and, like, help her hone her powers. But I don't think they're going to go that direction. First off, you know, I think Doctor Strange would be very offended if he shows up and she's reading the Darkhold.
Right.
Like, that's probably a banned artifact in the Sanctum Sanctorum.
Yeah.
second off, I think that they're going to try to swing more into, like, a House of M type situation going forward. I don't know if, like, she causes the multiverse. Like, maybe the Hex ends up being like the cause of like a tear in the multiverse or something like that. Who knows what they're going to do with it? But I think a lot of people were expecting Strange to show up at the very end of this and kind of take her under his wing, and we didn't get that. So who knows where they're going to go with her? I mean, it very much looks like they're hinting that she's going to continue to slide down that villainous slope. And I would love it if they just went full on villain with her. She's been through enough shit that it would be an incredible backstory.
Oh yeah, you know, it would be incredible. I would love to see that. I do think that, I mean, you know, I'm going to go on a little bit of a tangent here, but I promise I'm going to bring this back around and have it make sense.
I believe you.
But, you know, a coworker of mine asked me the other day, it was something along the lines of, like, why is it that that people tend to give DC more shit for a shitty live action than Marvel when if they were to both put out shitty movies? And I thought about it, and I gave them the example of credit. Like, if I have a credit score of 750 and I go to the bank and I ask for a high loan, with my credit score being 750, 800, they're going to say, sure thing, Mr. Superhero Homie Q. Here you go.
That's what's on your checking account, huh?
Yeah, yes, that's exactly what's on there.
Gotcha.
But if my credit score is, say, 500 or lower, and I go to the bank and ask for that same loan, they're not going to give it to me because my credit score is dog shit. And I would need to build up my credit in order to show the bank that, hey, I think I'm worthy of that same kind of clout. And what I'm getting at here, guys, is not a lesson in finances, but I'm getting at the fact that the MCU has more, they have way more hits than misses.
Right.
Whereas they have more hits than the DCEU has movies.
Yeah.
And that's just a simple fact of it. I mean, that's the unbiased truth of it all. And the fact of the matter is, the DCEU needs to get more, they need to get more hits under their belts. More movies, but really more hits.
Right.
And if they can do that, then they can raise their credit score. And if they can string together 4, 5, 6 good to great movies in a row, then they can start to build up their credit. So if they get another dud, it won't be as big of a deal as it is now. Now, the reason I say all that is because for those who may feel like the ending to WandaVision was disappointing, you have to understand that Marvel loves to play the long game, and maybe sometimes to a fault. Maybe sometimes they don't focus on their current product enough when they move forward. But what we have to understand here is with WandaVision is that they are going to tie this to something that's going to be extremely grand. And we just got to be patient and play the long game with them. So I think it's going to be worth it.
I think it's also important to note, for one, I mean, to me, like the 12th best Marvel film is better than every DCEU movie to me. I don't know what movie that is off the top of my head. I have a list, folks. I promise you I do, but I just don't have it on me. That might be like Homecoming. It might be 12. I think Homecoming is better than every DC film right now. You know, every DCEU movie. And that's exactly like, you know, what you're talking about. It's not only that they need hits. They need a hit. I don't count the original Wonder Woman. It was a box office hit. Mm-hmm. But if you look at it, like, so was BVS.
Mm-hmm.
So was Wonder Woman 84. It did very well for anything. I mean, it did better than anything else during the pandemic has done. And I think in terms of them building up some credit, they had Aquaman and Shazam, which were both very favorably looked upon by audiences. And then I think they shattered a lot of that goodwill by coming through with Wonder Woman 84, which I still hold is better than the original Wonder Woman, but I've started to think that I'm in the minority on that opinion. But I do like to get people to go in circles with it because I see people all the time and they'll be like, well, Wonder Woman 84 was terrible. And I go, yeah, but it was better than the first one, and you liked that one. And then they just kind of shut down for a minute, and they can't process it. Right. So I'm like, are you being overly critical of it, or are both of the movies bad, and you only like the first one because
everyone else did.
Yeah. So I do like seeing, like, you know, the, like, error 404, like, pop up in your eyeballs.
And then there was also Birds of Prey as well, which did the DCEU no favors.
I forgot all about that movie.
It's probably for the best.
Yeah. So if you want to hear my thoughts on that film, there is an episode very podcast about it. And it is the most negative I have ever been on this show by far. But the Snyder Cut's coming out, folks, so don't fret.
if when we do the Snyder Cut episode, guys, if you hear it and it sounds like all of Caleb's audio is edited out, then that's just a weird happenstance.
It's going to be like the radio edit of Get Low. Yeah. We're like, so guys, the Justice League. Yeah.
Oh, shit.
But on that note that you were talking about, though, it's also important to remember that this is not the only Disney Plus Marvel show we're getting. There's a lot of world building they're still going to do. We got Falcon and Winter Soldier up next. Is Loki right after that?
That's a good question. I don't know off top.
I know Loki's coming this year,
though. It is, yeah.
And then we have Hawkeye also coming.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's four, like, canon, like, series that are focusing on major, major players in the MCU. So, you know, even if you're not satisfied with maybe some of the build-up to bigger things in WandaVision, they got a lot of breadcrumbs they can lay, not to mention all the movies that are coming out this year.
So, right.
You know, that they have to, if you look at the total hours, this is the most hours of MCU content we've ever gotten in a single year, by far.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, if you count all the TV shows, and I feel like this is probably, how many movies are we getting from the MCU alone this year?
It's three.
Right?
Shang-Chi,
four. Yeah, it's four. That's.
But you may not count Black Widow. I don't know. You know, it depends on, like, if like Taskmaster is gonna, maybe they're gonna do something with him where he comes back.
Mm, yeah.
I hope they don't kill him.
Yeah, I mean, I know, me too.
It's like he's been dead since Civil War.
All right.
We never even knew he was in the MCU. Right. They already killed him.
Oh shit, that would be great. No, it wouldn't. I hope that Taskmaster turns out to be fucking awesome. But no, four movies, like, the movies alone is more than what we've gotten in any single year from the MCU. We've never gotten this many movies. It's normally two.
Yeah, three if we get a Spider-Man.
Right.
Sony. Man, I can't get off that now. They told Rhodey he couldn't go back in time and kill Thanos, and they did it to Taskmaster, possibly. Hypocrites.
Right. Sons of bitches.
Hopefully they won't, though.
Right.
There could be, if I don't get to see him fight Captain America, I feel like we have.
I know.
They got to make that happen.
Please, retrospectively, just do it.
Just, you know what? Just have him show up in that movie. He could.
Or he could.
I mean, there's no reason why he shouldn't.
Right.
Yeah, just have him show up and fight Taskmaster. That's what the last 30 minutes of the film.
Oh, yeah. Just
just
a big-ass melee. Yeah. That'd be fucking awesome, man. I mean, honestly. And plus, if Taskmaster lives, that means he gets to show up potentially in the Moon Knight TV show.
That's true.
Yeah. Which would also be great.
Yeah.
But no, so like we can go back to WandaVision here.
You get on a tangent.
I mean, you know, these things happen. yeah, so speaking of tangents, WandaVision, like, what happened?
Hazmat Franklin.
Hazmat Franklin, yes. We need justice for him. What do you think about Tyler Hayward, his whole arc and his scheme?
I kind of liked that he just turned out to be like a government yes man. Mm-hmm. You know, I really didn't want him to have some like super nefarious
thing.
Because when he was like, you know, like you said, you know, he was like, you know, and you should under no circumstances, and I cannot emphasize this enough, bring your boyfriend back to life. You know, like, when that started to happen, I was like, oh, man, come on. You know, it really just came down to, like, Vision is a freaking super weapon.
Yeah.
And this dude works for S.W.O.R.D. and is in need of super weapons. you know, fortunately Darcy took care of that for us. I did not like that Kat Dennings was like basically not even in the episode.
Oh, right.
But that scene was great. She, you know,
yeah,
her little like 2 seconds that she got was pretty good. We haven't really talked about Monica.
No, we haven't. So I'm not gonna lie, part of me was hoping that we get Monica versus Vision in this episode. But, you know, I get it. You got to do the whole Vision versus Vision thing. And the Vision versus Vision was great. So, no complaints.
And they didn't make a single double Vision pun.
I know. And see, I'm going to go ahead and drop it now because I can't do it any place later here. But, you know, we couldn't get Wanda last year because she didn't have 2020 Vision.
Go to bed.
Come on. Come on. No. I was thinking about that. It's like, I got to drop at least one joke for this episode today.
Got to be at least one Vision.
All right.
And we've dropped like three.
We've hit the quota. Of one, folks. Oh, shit. But no, I thought that, Monica, she was definitely in the episode. She was there.
So as our comic book aficionado here, because that's what you're missing here, folks, is like, I've seen all these movies like 7,000 times. But I've read very little comics, and if I have, they're usually like Dick Grayson or Batman comics. Or, you know, they also sometimes end up in the same comics, if you, spoilers for the last 60 years. But that being said, how do her powers that she's exhibited in WandaVision relate to her abilities in the comics? Are they close? Are they way off? Are we not sure?
I mean, I really haven't seen enough yet, honestly, to make that kind of judgment call. I can't tell you guys this, though. Like, in the comics, her powers are essentially the ability to absorb all types of energy and reformat it. Think like Gambit, but on, like, the nth degree. So she can get hit with, like, a radioactive energy or a solar energy or whatever kind of energy, and her body essentially can reformat it, and she can use that for a plethora of abilities. So she truly is one of the more powerful people in the Marvel Comics. And, you know, like, I was trying to think about, like, how that was being used in the show, and I don't know if maybe they're just going for, like, more of an ambiguous power set, or if they're going to try to lean into the ability to absorb different types of energy and redistribute it however she pleases. There was a part where she was being shot at by Hayward, and she was able to, I guess, kind of like slow down the trajectory of the bullets and then stopped it. Like, I guess you could do some mental gymnastics here and say that she absorbed the energy from the velocity of the bullet and used it to slow down the projection. I don't know.
That's what I understood from it. It was like, It was like those bullets coming out of the gun, they have a lot of kinetic energy. Mm-hmm. And it was like she just sapped all the kinetic energy out of them.
Yeah.
I don't know why they phase through her.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's for somebody else to figure out.
Yeah. She can, at times in the comics, distribute abilities that make her not really phase, like, say, Vision or Kitty Pryde, but she can, like, become light. And so maybe that's what they were going for.
Yeah.
I can definitely see that. I am extremely excited for her future, though. I'm sure that we'll probably... I know that we'll see her in Captain Marvel 2. I don't know what we'll see her in between then, though.
Well, she has been summoned by the man.
She has, yeah.
I mean, that's got to be Nick Fury.
It's got to be.
That wants to see her. Not a sponsor.
Right.
you know, that's got to be
who. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
They're talking about.
Yeah, I can't imagine who else it'd be. It'd be amazing if it was somebody else. Like, you know, I'm going to continue doing the thing that we shouldn't have done with WandaVision and Theorycraft. It's actually Mr. Fantastic, who's just going to go see.
It's the Phoenix Force. It's they're going to do it a third time. Yeah. Marvel's like, here's what we're going to do. We're going to do a Dark Phoenix story right off the rip.
Right.
And if we can't make it work, we're going to delete the X-Men, like, from existence.
Yeah. Oh, shit. I mean, some could argue that, like, WandaVision has been, like, their version of the Phoenix Force.
Well, then they did way better than the other two attempts.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I have to stop making predictions about everything, because when the second when the actual Dark Phoenix movie came out, I was one of those people that went, well, can't be worse than the first time. So wrong. So wrong. It was way worse than the first time. So, yeah, I mean.
It was time for, it was time for the X-Men to go a different direction.
I still think we have another 3 to 5 years before we really see mutants, like, full-fledged. Before we get, like, full-fledged X-Men stories. I think they're laying the building blocks, because Monica is a mutant, essentially.
Yeah, she's a, I'm going to put on my nerd glasses here. She's where they would classify a human mutate, being like somebody who starts off with human DNA and then gets altered, a la Fantastic Four or Spider-Man, rather than being born with an X gene, which would then technically make you a mutant.
Which would be, but Wanda, though.
Wanda.
This is who I meant to say.
Okay. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, yeah.
Talking about her. Yeah, but Wanda. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, unless we found out that Monica had some latent abilities also.
You're right.
In a flashback. But yeah, I really, that's probably my favorite part of the whole season, actually, is getting to see the Wanda Pietro backstory that they talked about in Age of Ultron, and how the MCU did not mess up any of the continuity, as they're so good at doing. And you can put that on your why do people give MCU a pass, you know, list, because people love that stuff. Me especially, it's my favorite thing about the MCU. I love the continuity and the world building. Without that, I mean, I would not be nearly as invested.
And I think that's what it's all about, like the hokey pokey. I mean, there really is the world building aspect of it all. But I think even more so is the fact that I'm one of the people who, in Age of Ultron, I do think that Marvel nearly wrote themselves in a corner with their version of Pietro and Wanda. I think that because of really clever writers, they were able to get out of it in WandaVision. Right. And
it made sense.
It made sense, It
made better sense than it originally made.
Yeah. So I have no problems with it. Like, I applauded that episode and that moment even. I thought it was great. And also, I'm not even being facetious, I thoroughly enjoyed having that 40 minutes of them walking around the word mutant. Like,
yeah. Let's say it every way that we possibly can without actually saying
mutant. Yeah. Because, you know, the first time that they drop it in the MCU, it's going to be a big deal. First time you hear the word mutant.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, it took them, 7 years to drop the words Scarlet Witch?
Yeah, yeah. So. That's true. And then, like, also, her Scarlet Witch outfit is amazing, to the point where I'm like, why did we have to wait so long to get this? Like, this, it looks amazing.
I was immediately going to bring that up and ask you what you thought of the costume. Because I think, other than maybe Cap, it's probably the best costume.
Yeah.
I don't know. I really like Iron Man's cutting edge armor.
Yeah. The cutting edge armor is really fucking cool. It might be, man. Yeah.
It's damn good.
It is, man. That outfit is fucking dope. And like, I even love how she didn't just have it for no reason. Like, it makes sense in the terms of the storytelling here.
Yeah.
And I even like how they dropped the term Scarlet Witch last episode. I thought that was also really good. Because it was done in a way, again, that makes sense. And really, that's what we want. We want things to make sense. And, you know, we want things to be entertaining on top of that. But
We talk about the, you know, X-Men Easter eggs. She's got that M on the top of her little crown there.
Yes.
And it looks oddly similar to someone's helmet.
They know what they're doing. Don't do that. Don't give me hope.
Scratch Magneto off the list of people that were supposed to show up in this. There was a lot of theories that people, you know, such and such is going to come in and save the day. Mm-hmm. I'm really glad that they didn't go with that. I was very glad that she was able to resolve the problem that she admittedly created, you know, kind of on her own. And she was able to get back some of that, you know, heroic side that, you know, if they're going to have her walk that line, she needs to walk that line. I still think we're going to see her in a much more villainous state at some point, though, because now they have the Darkhold. Now they can say, you know, oh, well, she was corrupted by the Darkhold willingly.
Yeah, Yeah, they could still go that route. But I guess with that, we can go ahead and talk about these post-credit scenes here. So we already talked a little bit about the first one with Monica being taken and in private and spoken to by a sword agent that turned out to be a Skrull, and said that the big man wants to talk to you and pointed upwards. So either that was like a threat on Monica's life and she's gonna go meet God, or yeah. or the big man meaning Nick Fury.
Well, I know that you and Kevin both are huge fans of the way that the Skrull are like these really like friendly, like cuddly, like Ewok type creatures. I know you guys are constantly on here raving about it. And I just want to say, man, I fully support that. I'm really glad that the Skrull are like so helpful to you know, the main characters of the MCU, especially Sam Jackson. I just think that I think it's very admirable how much support you've shown for the friendly Skrull.
You know, guys, not every guest can be a hit, and you know, we tried our best. So this has been a blast.
I mean, okay, in all seriousness, we're at least starting to kind of get used to it.
Death by a thousand cuts, you know.
At least the whole secret invasion concept, I believe the concept there is that there is like a sect of Skrulls that are super evil, mm-hmm. that's going to be about, so.
I just hope by that point that I'm not too jaded by the as you put it, the friendly Ewok Skrulls.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's just, I don't know, man. I don't want to go down that fucking tangent right now. That will add another hour to this episode.
We'll save it for the rant episode.
Yeah, we'll save it for the rant episode, which, by the way, guys, look forward to that. It's going to be myself, the homie Caleb, and the homie Oz. We're going to be on here talking about some ranting shit. I mean, so anything that you can think of to rant about, nerd shit, any kind of shit, we're going to be on here and we're going to rant. And it's going to be a lot of fun. It's an experimental episode. In the future, it would be Patreon only, but this first one I'm going to drop for everybody to hear. So definitely look forward to that one.
It's going
to
be a couple weeks. Until the government takes it down.
Yes, because I'm going to rant about those motherfuckers too.
Well, I'm just gonna let you know now that you know, if you were ever hoping to get Kathleen Kennedy or Ryan Johnson on the show, that hope is gonna end on the day we record that episode.
Well, I'll just add them to the list with Taika Waititi and hell, probably Kevin Feige at this point is even on the list. He probably doesn't want anything to do with us.
Yeah, I told Feige about Ragnarok.
Oh shit!
And I just kind of zipped up the MP3 and sent that over.
God damn.
And I was like, yeah, man, you know.
You can't prove that was us, though.
I was like, yeah, if you ever want to come on my podcast, you're welcome to. But just definitely not this one. You hear this? These guys
are saying. It's like these motherfuckers.
Yeah. I overheard this. I was scrolling through the podcast app randomly and just happened to click on this 3-year-old episode.
I sent him another five myself of you on our podcast also shitting on it.
And Iron Man 3.
Yes, and Iron Man 3.
And talking about how I, you know, won't watch any of Shane Black's films for the rest of all time. God damn.
Oh, shit.
I'm going to put you on the spot here.
Mm-hmm.
We jump back into WandaVision. If you have to score the entire season
of WandaVision on a...
And I want you to think about this in the terms of the MCU, because I think that's the only fair way to do it. So, you know, think about the scores that you've given everything else in the MCU.
Ooh. I think I give WandaVision... I feel comfortable giving it a straight 8 out of 10.
I was going to say like an 8.3.
Mm.
So we're in the same kind of ballpark.
Yeah.
When it's satisfying, it's very satisfying. When it's not satisfying, it's either just okay,
mm-hmm.
or the writers took a few really harebrained turns that I was
saying, yeah.
that we've discussed.
Like for me, when the show didn't quite hit it was still okay because it just made me want to get to the next episode.
And it was very different.
Yeah.
And it was also, we really haven't talked about this, but I think the pacing in this show is excellent.
It is, yeah. I did think that the pacing in this finale was, it felt just a hair rushed for me. But I did think that, yeah, for basically every other episode, I really loved the pacing. I know some people had a problem with the pacing of the show in the first two episodes, really wanting the other shoe to drop. I can understand that, but for what they were doing, I still really enjoyed the pacing even then.
I think if they hadn't released the first two back-to-back, like, I think the drop-off would have been immense if, like, the first and second episodes had been a week apart, and then another week for the third episode, because episode four is where they grabbed the really casual
viewer. Yes, yeah.
A lot of people had checked out of WandaVision after, like, episode three, or maybe even didn't make it through one and two, and then four came out, and the internet is exploding about it.
Yeah.
And then that's when you brought back in all of your, like, really casual folks who, you know, maybe they just go see the movies when they come out, but they're not on comicbook.com every day. They're not at, you know, the bookstore. Not a sponsor, by the way. They're not at the bookstore, you know, buying, you know, trade paperbacks or anything. Yeah. You know,
they don't listen to our podcast for some reason. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Those people.
But I mean, that fourth episode was MCU wise such an eye opening, like really awesome, like. It just really slotted the show as, like, to me, it is must-watch MCU. Like, if you want to keep up with the overarching story of the MCU, this is not something you can skip. Would you agree?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. 1,000%. You absolutely need to watch WandaVision if you want to be cued in for everything else that's going to happen.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to.
Because we know it has major ties to Doctor Strange 2, to Spider-Man, and then possibly to what is... You know, further on, you know, because as we said, Vision, this new Vision, he's going to show back up. Okay?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he's going to make another appearance and, yeah, we're going to see what he's up to because he's still out there. I will say this. I laughed at myself after the fact because I legit for a second thought that, that colorized Vision taught white suit Vision into killing himself. And I was like, like, my objective is to kill Vision. I am Vision.
I have to admit that, you know, for a minute there, when he didn't speak or anything at first, I was like, he's going to open his mouth and it's going to be James Spader's voice. That would have been amazing.
Holy shit.
I would have lost my mind stone.
We are fucking done here, sir.
He's just going to cut the episode right there. It's going to be like, I would have lost my mind. And then, like,
right.
You know, he just goes right into the outro.
Oh, shit. God damn it. Let's talk about this last cutscene, though.
Okay.
And you know what? Like, I didn't even see this online. It's just like, instinctively, I knew there's going to be a second cutscene.
Somebody that, so apparently, we didn't talk about this. Apparently, this episode actually dropped early. And I can assure you that none of them ever did that because I was awake and checking. But this one apparently dropped about 10 minutes early. Like, it dropped at like 2:45, 2:50, somewhere in there. Because they normally hit Disney Plus at 3 a.m. And a friend of mine that I knew was going to be watching it, too, I texted him about 3:05, which when I started watching it. And I was like, yeah, I'm starting to watch it. And they were like, yeah, I'm like halfway through it. It dropped early. And I was like, oh. And then they messaged me and said, oh, there's two after credit scenes, which I assumed, too, that there would be or hoped. But this last one, we talked about Marvel rarely fails visually. I kind of think they threw this together. Like, her house is like CG. And it looks awful in that zoom up, you know?
It looked like Bruce Banner's house at the end of 2008 Incredible Hulk.
It did, yeah.
Yeah. I expected Eric Norton just come walking out and like, oh, this is a multiverse.
With his completely CG static face Hulk that looks like an action figure now. It looks like claymation now compared to the you know, Hulk that we're used to, right. The Ruffalo Hulk. But I really thought this was interesting because... And, you know, when she's sitting there in her astral projection is studying the Darkhold while she's doing other things. I mean, this just screams Stephen Strange. Mm-hmm. I mean, even though he was not present here, you definitely know that he is like the focus of this story going forward. It is hurtling towards him, whether he knows it or not.
Right. And, I mean, at this point, we still don't really know a whole lot about Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness, but I couldn't be more excited for it. Like, seeing this new phase of Wanda with more powers unlocked and, like, this knowledge now at her disposal, I think she's going to stand in the way of Doctor Strange in some way, and I think it's going to be a really badass showdown. That's what I think. I don't, at least for part of the movie, I don't think that she's going to oppose Doctor Strange for, like, the movie's entirety, but I think for a large portion of it, it's going to be Strange trying to talk Wanda down from doing something stupid, probably to do with her children. So I've been putting this off on the podcast here for weeks now because I didn't want to get into it, but now I think it's probably the most appropriate time, and that is I've been avoiding talking about the origin of Wanda's children. I would always mention it and then just get off of it because it's kind of a deep cut. And the fact of the matter is, Wanda's children, like fragments of, or their souls are made from fragments of Mephisto. Hence the reason why so many people thought Mephisto would make an appearance in this show. But hearing Wanda's children cry out for help, you know, it leads one to believe as she goes out and delves into the multiverse. Because another thing that Doctor Strange comics do really well is, you never know if Doctor Strange is in an alien place or a hellish place. Mm. Is this something that is extraterrestrial or something that's demonic? And Doctor Strange comics do a really good job of interchanging the two. And I think that maybe this is where we get a wink and a nod legitimately to Mephisto is in Doctor Strange 2. If she goes out and seeks the souls of her children and finds out that her children, when she created them, were borrowed from fragments of Mephisto, I think that could lead her down a dark path, which Doctor Strange was standing in the way of.
Now, in the source material, is there a strong connection between Mephisto and the Darkhold?
Not that I'm aware of, but there could be.
Because the Darkhold, and I mean even mm-hmm. in Mephisto too, both of them are very prevalent throughout all sorts of mythology.
Yeah.
You can find like a one-to-one representation of both the Darkhold. I mean, you know, it could be compared to the Necronomicon.
Right.
And then Mephisto, of course, the devil, Satan.
Yeah.
You know, Hades, yeah. Like, you know, whoever.
So, Mephistopheles, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, it's a very forbidden object and a very forbidden guy mm-hmm. that's usually real pissed.
Yeah.
So, you know, whether he has a strong connection to it in the MCU or not, it's entirely plausible that reading it could lead her in his direction.
Yeah.
So,
you know, if I can make at least just one more joke, you know what Mephisto and the devil have the most in common? People blame them with shit that they really didn't do.
You know, if Matt Murdock were here... That's what he's doing in Spider-Man 3. He's fighting Mephisto with his bare hands.
God damn.
So you all think it's going to be a court case. All
right.
Nope.
You know what's funny is that in my mind, Matt Murdock is winning that fight.
Right, it's like, yeah. Every punch is leaving like a little like crucifix-shaped like sear on Mephisto's body.
And Mephisto says, I know I'm the devil, but that man is the devil. Oh, shit. Okay. Let's give some closing comments here on WandaVision, and we'll wrap this one up.
Yep. Subscribe to the Patreon.
Yes.
I do. You should as well. It's very fantastic. I know this doesn't directly have anything to do with WandaVision, but I'm throwing it in here.
Wanda herself has subscribed to the Patreon. Because reasons.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there is a very recent, excellent episode about Dungeons and Dragons.
Oh, yeah.
On the Patreon that you should absolutely check out. I listened to it this morning.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. Dungeons and Dragons, guys, it's not just for nerds. Maybe it is, but check it out.
Yeah, I mean, you won't know if you don't listen to the episode.
Yeah. So. Oh, yeah. That was a very fun episode that we did with the homie Oz. Had a lot of fun with that one. Also did a recent Patreon on Dolemite. Yes. That 1975 classic goodness, my goodness. And it's not just on Dolemite, but it's also on Dolemite Is My Name, which is the 2019 Eddie Murphy movie, which chronicles the life of Rudy Ray Moore, the guy who played Dolemite. So definitely, guys, give that one a listen. It is a lot of fun, I promise you that.
And if I'm not mistaken, you guys also did Judas and the Black Messiah.
Yes, we also recently did Judas and the Black Messiah. Phenomenal movie.
Such an amazing, amazing film. I did not watch it until this past week. Yeah, and I remembered seeing it come up and being like, well, I can't listen to that yet. I haven't watched it yet. But I definitely watched it, and now I want to listen to the episode because that was an incredible movie. And you guys have, Kong and Godzilla?
Yep, we got Kong and Godzilla coming up. There is the shared Patreon episode we're going to do, the rant episode that's coming up. Even though that will be released on all of our podcasting platforms, the Patreons are going to get it early. And on top of that, I'm also toying with the idea of doing another Patreon episode where like a preview episode of things to come. So I'm going to talk about Mortal Kombat. I'm going to talk about expectations for Kong and Godzilla. And we're going to talk about some of these other movies that we have coming out this later on this year. Also, I forgot to mention this as well, but either tomorrow or Sunday, the review on our Patreon for Coming to America Part 2 will be up. So I'll be doing that one as well.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay.
So there's a lot coming down the Patreon pipeline, guys.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's always money well spent. Anyway, yes. WandaVision, closing thoughts. Yeah. My segues aren't as good as yours.
I mean, you know, you get there.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I got to level that skill up.
I thoroughly enjoyed WandaVision. I know a lot of people had some problems with the maybe the sitcom format or the pacing in the beginning, but it had me hooked because I had never seen anything like this from the MCU. It felt so different. And as somebody who has openly complained about some of Marvel's products feeling formulaic, this was very welcome to me. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I even enjoyed the process of theorizing as we waited each week. And that's what you want if you're Marvel. You want your fan base to theorize and to talk about these episodes on a weekly basis. You want people to talk about it. And that's what we did. I had a lot of fun as the pieces fell into place. I thought that this show, like you said earlier, had a great pacing. I really enjoyed the tone of the show. The sitcom vibe really worked for me, especially when the dark undertones really bled through. I thought the finale as a whole was good. I maybe would like something a little less black and white, but as a whole, I still really enjoyed this series, and I can't wait to see what happens next.
So anyway, the Star Wars sequel trilogy.
All right, so this has been great, guys. We are not going down that rabbit hole.
I am going to use an example, though. I'm going to use an example. So, very quickly, you know, we've talked about this a few times. When Star Wars Episode 7 came out, that people complained that it was too safe and it was too close to the originals. And then when Episode 8 came out, we definitely got something different. But different doesn't mean that it's good, right? And I think for a majority of the fan base, I think I can objectively say that it was bad different. This is an example of good different. They're giving me something that I didn't know that I wanted, but I did want it. And I did enjoy it. I think that the sitcom stuff maybe went on. Like, I was just getting tired of it when they broke the mold. So maybe that's the right spot. But I loved all the references. I mean, they did The Brady Bunch, Full House, Malcolm in the Middle. I mean,
The Office or Modern Family.
Yeah, I mean, there was just so many, you know, really cool references in the show. That part of it was amazing. The character work, like you talked about, was amazing. I mean, the actors, the main cast especially, really got to flex their acting muscles and show us all these different, you know, aspects of their characters that they could play. And it's like you said, they kind of gave us a little mystery to follow through with. And yeah, at the end of the day, this wasn't a mystery show. This was a Wanda Maximoff character study.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm all about a character study.
Yeah.
So yes, did the finale play it safe? Sure. Did most of the fan base let our expectations, me included, run away with us? Also, yes. Mm-hmm. Did Kevin Feige stoke it a little bit? He did, but that's his job. He's the greatest producer in the history of Hollywood. So, you know, I can't blame him and say I'm not to blame, too. So, yeah, I enjoyed this. I don't regret watching it. I would watch back through it.
Yeah.
And it makes me very excited to see what they do with Disney Plus as a platform going forward. Originally, when this first aired, I said, I think I would have started with Falcon and Winter Soldier. I don't think I ever would have started with this. But I was wrong. I mean, The whole world's talking about it. So.
Yeah. And, you know, if for you guys who are Patreoners, you already have access to my preview of Falcon and Winter Soldier. So if you guys are not Patreons, you have to wait a few more days to get it. But that show will be out in just a couple of weeks. March 19th is when that comes out. So definitely, guys, don't think that you can cancel your Disney Plus subscription or that you should. That's where all the damn MCU movies are at.
Disney Plus, not a sponsor.
No, yeah, definitely not a sponsor. They would never pay Kevin or I a cent because we may have said some distasteful things in the past.
Allegedly.
I mean, you can't really prove any of that, you know. I mean, Sam Jackson says motherfucker all the time. You know, we can't say some disparaging shit here and there.
He even tried to say it in Infinity
War. Yeah.
You know that's a kid's movie.
But the Falcon and Winter Soldier preview was a lot of fun, guys. It's going to be a lot about what we can expect to see in the show. It's going to be a lot about certain characters like John Walker. Who is this John Walker character? What role did he play in the comics? And how will they be incorporated in the TV show? There's going to be talks about the buddy cop relationship between Falcon and Winter Soldier. It's going to be talks about Zemo and about the role that he plays and how he can avoid maybe some of the same conundrums he faced in Civil War. So that was a lot of fun, guys, and definitely be sure that you can check that out. Again, that episode is currently on Patreon. If you are not on Patreon, you'll have access to that Monday at noon. But I think that's going to be all for now. You got anything else?
I just want to add in that as a spoiler for the preview episode, the first episode of Falcon and Winter Soldier is going to be amazing. And then the second episode is just going to be Zemo reading out the little code words. He's going to be like Lima, Ashtray, Lemonade, Baked Potato. And that's going to be like 30 minutes of that. That's my prediction.
It's going to be 30 minutes of him just saying a bunch of random words to Bucky while he tries to figure out which combination of all words could possibly be it.
Yeah, he's like, they changed it, damn it. And he's
God
just has to go through
shit.
It. No, this has been great. I'm very anxious to come back and review Falcon and Winter Soldier. That's going to be amazing. And also to rant, which is something I'm very proficient at.
So. Yes, guys. But homies, thank you guys again for listening. Again, you guys are awesome. That is all for now. But until next time, my name is Superhero Homie Q.
And I'm Superhero Homie Caleb.